Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by FindMassMoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, I'm still a little bit sleepy from my long zoning board meeting last night.
Are you on the zoning board? Or?
I am.
You are?
Oh, wow. I am. Yes,
really?
We had a major decisions last night about people's future and their real estate and all that kind of stuff.
So you're a public servant. This is all volunteer?
I wouldn't call myself a servant to anybody,
okay.
Greg.
But all volunteer, yeah. Or do you get a stipend of some
no,
sort?
No, it's strictly a volunteer deal.
Okay, are you able to, potentially a Boston City Councilor, able to get any bribes or any kind of...
Well, I haven't been offered any, but I'm open to offers, that's for sure.
What were you guys voting on? Like some new golf course or
there was an abutter to a commercial property that was unhappy with the deal that they signed. They didn't think the commercial property, which is just recently built up like a warehouse, and they didn't put in the trees that would shield them from the abutter's property, and they were supposed to be white pine trees like 8 feet apart, and they were not planted properly. I voted in favor of the abutter.
I want to get to the Bruins because everybody will be yelling at
me. You don't want to talk about pine trees anymore?
No, I want to ask, when it comes to the tinfoil hat and the conspiracy side of things, what are, in your mind, the drones in New Jersey?
You know what? Before I get to what are the drones, what the hell is the rest of the government doing? Shoot them mothers down.
Right, shoot them.
get rid of the damn things or find out what they are.
Right.
For 3 weeks we've been, unless they have some communication with, alien beings that say, if you shoot us down, we're going to melt you or
whatever
do.
Right, laser. They probably have some.
I don't know. I mean, but
laser.
In the meantime, I'm not a pacifist.
No, but I mean, maybe we can't shoot them down. Like there must be some.
Well, it's pretty interesting that they go dark when somebody comes near
right.
them, or they start
yeah.
that speaks to me of a different universe of some kind. But I'm certainly curious, and I'm glad they're not over my house in Mashpee.
They don't go dark when you have a cell phone, though. That's
listen, you're a guy on another topic of importance this morning. You're a guy who coached in professional sports for a long time. Do you think it's going to be difficult for Bill Belichick, his most recent experience being in the NFL, to relate to and have success with these college football players at UNC?
Yes, is the answer. But, okay. He just went through a radical change in his life when the Patriots let him go. It had to be jarring, had to be unnerving. And then on top of that, he gets no offers. from any viable team. I mean, you would think that with his pedigree, with his history, that he would get a ton of offers, but he doesn't. And now, so he says, "What the heck?" And you know, he'll have comfortable circumstances. He won't have that much pressure. He'll have a lot of adulation. He'll have a lot of pain in the ass people to shake hands with. But you know, if you can get through that or limit it, and I'm sure with his 400-page manifesto, he's got something there about how many appearances he has to do. He should be okay. He should be great. He'll be coaching, and coaching is coaching no matter what level.
All right. Well, heading into Tuesday night, I think it was Shimes' lead. Many were suggesting this was a legit test when it comes to the Joe Sacco-led Boston Bruins when you're playing Winnipeg, and that's the first good team, first legit team they had played since that change was made. They get blown out. Where are you now on this team?
Now, pretty much where I was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, which is that they have a giant hole in the middle, and they're not going to be a contender until they address that. And they could polish up the sidelines and the wings and defense or whatever, but they don't have enough in the middle. I mean, this Elias Lindholm has been a bust. 3 goals and, what, 10 assists? I mean, this is not what you pay $8 million for. Not to mention Zadorov, who's been, you know, once in a while he hits somebody, but the rest of the time he's in the penalty box or making really what I think are inefficient and not very studious plays on the ice. I mean, they look like they had grasped a concept of defensive efficiency under Joe for, you know, for the last seven and two. And then they hit this bump in the road, and Winnipeg is a legit contender. I mean, they've fallen on a little bit of a hard time recently. I think they were 4-6 in their last 10 after a ridiculously hot start, but they clearly have talent. And the Bruins, for whatever reason, weren't ready. And I read that they felt their practices weren't good. Well, you know, I have to tell you, that's on the coach. I'm a big fan of the coach. You know, I've known him for a long time, and I think he's going to do a pretty good job, as good a job as he can with the tools that he's given. But if the practices are sloppy and things aren't paid to detail, attention's not paid to detail, then it is on him. And I saw it from Marchand, and I saw it from Joe Sacco himself. They weren't happy with their practices. Well, take a look in the mirror, buddy, because that's your job.
Mike, one of the things that we talked about with Bill potentially not having another job is his inability to maybe work with front office people. What's it like in hockey? I know it's a different sport, but have you ever been involved, and it seems like maybe there's something that could be going on with the Bruins, where front office and coaching don't see eye to eye when it comes to certain players? What is that like?
You know, when I stopped playing and I went to see my boss, Harry Sinden, and I said I wanted to get into management. You know, I'm not that stupid. I didn't want to be a coach because you get fired every 2 years, right? And then you got to move your family and all that stuff. And he said, well, if you want to be a manager, you've got to learn coaching. So he sent me to Maine, and I was general manager and coach of the Maine Mariners, and it was an incredible learning experience. I mean, just an incredible learning experience. And if you have not coached, you really don't understand the mechanics of it, the emotions of it, whatever it is. And it was the best thing that I ever did in my professional hockey career. And it took a while to adjust to be a coach. And I think it takes a while for people to understand just how difficult it can be, as you know, Wiggy. And you know, the Bruins have two guys in management situations that have never coached.
Joe Sacco's been a head coach.
Sacco's been a head coach, yeah. But I was talking about the management side of it.
About Don Sweeney.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for them to grasp how things work in the locker room, how difficult it is to manage, and especially since the guy in the locker room is the guy that's, you know, he's the guy that's trying to drive the bus with your players. probably hasn't had much input. It has had a little input, but so I think they have to understand what he's going through, and I don't know that either one of them can fully grasp that because they've never done it before. It's really the dynamic between management and coaching is really fluid and depends a lot upon the experiences of both parties.
Rank playing, coaching, and being an executive in terms of jobs you enjoyed doing.
There's nothing like playing. There's nothing like being, you know, in the pit. You know, it's so, I mean, and with a teammate that you really like, a bunch of teammates that you really like, there's no question. And then you take one step back and you're coaching, and but you're still, you know, you're not in the pit, but you're close to it. And one step further removed is management, which is satisfying, and but not anywhere near, you know, the whole thing is about the game. And if you're playing the game, you should be the happiest you've ever been. And if you're the coaching the game, you should be second happiest, in my opinion. But you're still part of it, and you can still influence it. And you still influence it as a manager, but there's nothing like playing.
Jeremy Swayman had an awful night the other night. I mean, they all did. But
Greg, I'm going to stop you there if you don't mind. Sorry to interrupt you. The first, like, three or four goals were so pathetically poorly defended.
Yeah.
And ricochets off shin pads and that sort of stuff. And then I think there's a kid who was fighting to get his confidence after a young man had a very public battle with management, not feeling, you know, good about himself in some ways or feeling a little defensive. And he's fighting to get his confidence back. And he's got in front of him, you know, a very porous defense. And the penalty killing was god awful the other night. I mean, so methodical and slow and not really in any way what I would call an efficient use of their time on the ice. And Joe Sacco is a penalty killing expert, but he has to see it. But I thought Swayman was on the way back, and then he got discouraged after the first three, four goals, and who wouldn't? And then he let in a couple of clunkers, but I thought the game was out of hand when that happened.
So your question. If you look at him, at Jeremy Swayman struggling, you would put that more on his confidence issue, or he's still upset about what he had to hear when they were talking about where he could improve, or and not on training camp, not on missing training camp.
It's training camp is too far in the rearview mirror now. I don't think there's any shouldn't be any impact of this. I think the team's struggles have compounded his own personal struggles, and I think the mind is a terrible thing to waste, right? And his mind right now is like, I don't think he really feels comfortable with his teammates or comfortable with the defense in front of him or with his game. When somebody scores from below the goal line, as they did in Winnipeg the other night, you know something's wrong, because this kid is mechanically, when I've seen him on his game, he's been as incredible as a mechanical goaltender, moving side to side, gearing up for the angles, making everything look easy. And when somebody scores from behind the goal line, you know something's amiss.
Mike, and football, we criticize the coach a lot for penalties, especially, you know, pre-snap penalties. They put that on the coach. But when you look at this Bruins team, they're the most penalized team in the NHL, and it's by a pretty good amount. Where does that come from?
I think it comes from two things: skating, quickness or agility, I guess all included in that, and intelligence, because you want to put yourself in a position where you can ride somebody into the wall and not take a penalty. But if you're a half step behind, you're reaching, and then you put yourself in a position where the referees can make an easy call. So I think it's quickness, it's intelligence, and maybe I should add a third thing, a little bit of discipline. Because you know when you're in a vulnerable position, a weak position, and if you have to resort to a hook or a hold or something like that, you know you're going to get the 2 minutes. You know, your arms are outstretched 90% of the time, especially now in this wimpy rule about slashing. When you hit a guy on the stick and you get 2 minutes, which still baffles me, you have to understand that that's the way it goes and learn from it. But they haven't been able to do that.
So is that like is that a front office thing, not being able to reckon? Because when you bring up discipline and not a lack of focus, is that the front office not being able to recognize players that could be lacking those two things? Or is that coaching not being able to get
it out of them?
Yeah, or is it just the player can't get past that? That's just who he is as a player.
I think it's a combination of things, but in the end, it's on the player. It's on the coach first, because we talked about this. So you're closest to the pit. You know, you're the one in the action. You're the one that has to be responsible for what goes on. But listen, I can't tell you that you can absolve the guys upstairs who pay Elias Lindholm for, 13 points after a third of the season, and for Zadorov, who leads the league in penalty minutes. These guys are just, they're not living up to the hype. And so that's where management has to take responsibility. But in the meantime, if Zadorov is taking penalty after penalty, sit his fat ass down.
Mike Milbury, you always live up to the hype. So thank you for taking the time this morning. Yes. I will not be here next week, next Thursday. I'm here through Wednesday. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I hope you get everything you want and more.
Thanks. I've already got everything I need.
Oh, fantastic.
It's pretty good.
I will not send my gift then. I will. I had one that was going in the mail.
If it's red wine, please send it.
All right, Mike, thank you. And Courtney is at jury duty here at Shine with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Subaru of New England. The big news of the last 24 hours, Bill Belichick, officially the new head coach of the University of North Carolina. He is going to sign a five-year deal with the school to be a head coach in the NCAA. He's also bringing along his good old pal, Mike Lombardi, with him to become the GM of the football program. The other news in town, the Red Sox made a big trade yesterday. They traded for Garrett Crochet, big left-handed pitcher from the Chicago White Sox, 25-year-old pitcher. He was a first-round pick in 2020. They sent a couple prospects, including one of their top prospects in catcher Kyle Teal, to the White Sox. The Bruins are back in action tonight on the road. They're in Seattle to take on the Kraken. Puck drop for that one is at 10. The Celtics have the Pistons at the TD Garden tonight. Tip is at 7:30. And we got another banger on Thursday Night Football. Rams and Niners kick off at 8:15. You can catch all the action right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Thanks to the coverage from Westwood One. That trending was brought to you by Subaru of New England. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. Visit SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Scheimer. Feels like 29 afternoon high in the upper 30s.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe coming up in half an hour at 10. Lots to talk about with those guys. Obviously, Bill Belichick headed to college football, and the Red Sox pull off a stunner of a trade, Curtis. The brilliance when it comes to Craig Breslow and that organization over there, right in your face this Christmas season.
Breslow is at a new high.
Uh-huh. So those guys coming up at 10. Of course, Monday we will be at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday, so Boomer Esiason and Gerard Mayo on this show on Monday. This is Dave from Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
You too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just a quick thing on Bill Belichick. I went to UConn. I played soccer there. It was a main sport when I was there. UConn tried to be a football program. It never will be. It's a basketball school now. It's been for a long time. North Carolina is a basketball school. it's a moot point to say if Bill Belichick wins a national championship, it's better than a – it doesn't matter. He doesn't even care. He's there for 2 years. He's setting up his son. It's his end game. He's got 3 years. He's not doing 5 years. It's his end game.
Oh, so, okay, so you think he's only going to go there for 2 years, even though the deal is for five, and he's what, Wiggy?
Yeah. Can I ask Dave a question?
Yeah.
Just real simple.
Yeah, sure. You look like you can't wait.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, when I bring up the University of Indiana or Indiana University, first thing that pops into your mind, it is a
basketball
school.
Hoosiers.
Correct? Hoosiers.
Used to be.
Hoosiers, right? Guess where they are this year? They are playing in the college football playoffs, so they have a legitimate chance of.
Do you think they'll win it, Wiggy? Do you think they'll actually have a chance of winning it?
Listen, if you're in it, you got a chance. That's what I know.
Right,
so
well, that's not the question.
You know what's really
asked,
ironic? But... You know what's ironic about this whole thing is that UConn is playing North Carolina at Fenway Park. Neither one of those teams will ever be a football program.
Okay.
They won't.
Well, the Hoosiers look like a pretty good football program.
I would just like to say, when I was at UConn for my brief 2-year stint, we did go to the Fiesta Bowl and get blown out by Sam Bradford.
Right.
So.
Oklahoma. I just
did you get free chips and salsa while you were there?
No, I didn't get to go to the Fiesta Bowl because it's in like Arizona.
Did you drive there and walk, or did you say you walked?
Oh, Baseball Brett is on the phone this morning. Heard him on the Ken and Curtis show on Saturday. Hi, Baseball Brett.
Good morning. How are we?
How are we feeling about the Red Sox this morning?
Well, step one has been accomplished. So you get yourself an ace. So that was kind of step one. Now Curtis is 100% right, as always. They haven't spent any money. So I think that comes with a hitter, and I think they're going to trade for another pitcher. So I think I told you going into the offseason, Greg and company, I told you that they needed two starting pitchers. They needed an ace, and they needed another pitcher. They needed a right-handed bat. So I think that's what you're going to get, but I think the hardest part was accomplished yesterday.
What are the odds that Costas,
I love the kid.
What are the odds that Costas is on the roster opening day?
Looks like slim.
I love it.
Yeah, it looks like slim. I think
you want him out of here.
Well, he's going to be dealt for a really talented pitcher with the Mariners potentially.
Yeah.
So I actually. So we talked about it on Saturday, Curtis. Right. So I think that you could trade Tristan Cassis, get yourself another top line pitcher, and then you can supplement that with a right-handed bat at first base. Right, so you can kind of balance out the lineup. That's the right-handed hitter that you need. You would pay for the bat, but the swap in from Costas to that pitcher is not going to be a lot of salary, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I think, you know, whether that's trading for Nolan Arenado, whether that's Christian Walker, the kid out of Arizona, whether that's Pete Alonso, there's a lot of right-handed bats that could fit into first base. So I think it looks like Tristan Cassis is going to be a big trade chip.
So you don't think that they're one and done? Like you don't think they're going to fool themselves that they made this trade and the faith has been reinvested? You think they're going to keep dealing?
No, I don't think this ownership likes to overpay on pitching. I think pitching, and I've talked about this for years with you guys, is that when you hit 29, 30, that's not the right time to invest in pitching, right? There's so many issues that go on. There's so many contracts that are just bad. Not to say that I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying the ownership doesn't like it. I think they like young, quality-controlled pitching, economic pitching, and I think they want to supplement the roster with bats. And I think you can get away with a Bregman or, you know, someone that's a little bit older. I think that's what they're going to pay for. So I still think they're going to get whether they trade for a pitcher, whether they add another pitcher, they're going to add at least one more starter, and they're going to acquire a right-handed bat. I'm certain of it, and bullpen. So I think that would be the next few dominoes to fall. I don't think they're done. If they're done, they're just stupid because they have a legit window. No one really talks about this. With Juan Soto leaving the Yankees, they have and Corbin Burns leaving Baltimore Orioles if he doesn't resign, the AL East is wide open. So, like, wide open.
So
who would you put in a power position in the AL East right now?
I would say that you're right. It is wide open because Toronto, who the hell knows what they're going to do? It looks like they're trying to move on from Vlad Guerrero. So would you be in on Corbin Burnes then, 30-year-old pitcher that's going to be looking for a nice payday?
Me, yes. But I think what the Red Sox are going to try to do, yes. I think I personally would, because I think you'd get 4 to 5 years out of them, okay, right? And then you'd have to eat the remaining years. I think what the Red Sox are going to try to do would be to trade Casas for a controllable pitcher, whether that's a kid out of Pittsburgh, whether that's a kid out of Seattle, if Seattle ever wants to move their pitching. I think they're going to do that, and I think they're going to bring in a first baseman or a right-handed bat. That's the direction I think the Red Sox are going to go in, Wiggy, whether I want to do it or not. I think that's – and I don't mind that approach, right? Like, pitching is so temperamental. Those contracts are so temperamental that I like the approach. As long as you can lock up Garrett Crochet, and as long as you have 4 or 5 years left of the pitcher that you get, that's a really, really good direction to go in. That makes the Red Sox a really, really strong program moving forward. I think it's a sustainable winner. That's what you want, right? You want winning.
Thank you, baseball, Brett.
Yep.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great day. Bye, okay. Greg.
All right.
There you go.
You have it.
Well, okay. Diehard right there. So he likes the moves. He'd be in on Corbin Burnes. It'd be nice if they could do it, but he is in line when you think about the AL East, right, being wide open, you know, especially if Burnes does move.
Our old friend Nink is cheating on us this morning.
Oh.
He went on Get Up.
Yeah.
And he had a mic drop moment about Bill Belichick, if you want to hear the now viral clip.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Yes, let's hear it.
You see it now. Just check the portal right now. Look at all the players that are in it right now. I'm telling you, it's a different animal. He's just going to have to be ready for that.
Go ahead, Ninko.
He does have experience recruiting young talent. Just saying. But I won't get into that one.
Hey. Now, Greeny's like, let's get back to football, please.
Is this going to affect their relationship? He's had a lot of time on his hands.
Right.
In his current role.
Yeah.
Or roles.
Right.
I mean, is she going to move with him? Or
I would think so. I mean,
but he's going to be back to Bill. He's going to be back to no days off, Bill.
Right.
He's going to be back to working, you know, 17, 18 hours a day, Bill.
Right.
I guess he can bring her when he has to go meet with the boosters. And
right. Oh, you're saying she's on a booster seat?
And do the he's got to do the appearance at the car dealership down there in Chapel Bill.
My guess is, as many believe, that Giselle had a role in Tom's exodus from here.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is Jordan had a role in getting him back to college.
Right. But you got to be careful, though. Lot of 24-year-old smokes.
A lot of temptation?
Lot of floating around on college campuses that have intellectual conversations. let's say Bill's in the cafeteria and
somebody needs help with their homework.
Well, just like he met Jordan on an airplane
and they start talking about
philosophy. And
she had no idea who he was.
You know, a lot of 24-year-olds on the college campus nowadays.
I think I've seen all of these in a meme already, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
By the way, Seth Wickersham, who is amazing. Like, everybody despises him in those buildings, yet they all give him information. He has this thing Wiggy shared with us, this like 5,000-word expose on Bill Belichick and his arrival, and that he and all these guys, Lombardi, McDaniels, would do these Zoom calls on Mondays as a way to sort of debrief.
Yeah.
And that it was eventually sort of brought to his attention that college may be the right way to go. And in the story, a confidant says, quote, "This is a big FU to the NFL by Bill Belichick." And I would like to say that Greg has had a big FU to Emrat because he is not dating her. Talk about having it backwards. Nobody wants to hire you, and now going to college is an FU to them. That is a wild way to look at it.
Right. I don't agree with you on that. I think nobody wanted to give him total control.
That's it.
So it's an FU to people that didn't want to give him something?
No, I think it's just like, because the narrative nationally from NFL people, NFL talkers out there, is, we needed Bill in the NFL. But
well, I think they aren't you kind of bummed that he's not going to be back in the NFL?
Yeah,
I mean, I am.
It's great for
ESPN. It's great for college football.
I'm a college football fan.
I've quickly come to the belief that winning in college would be much more impressive than winning in the NFL.
No, I'm a college football fan, so I don't mind it. But I'd love to see Bill in the NFL. I'd love to see him what he'd be able to do.
Curtis Wiggy stands by that statement.
Oh, by the way, it's hands down.
Well, especially taking a program that's not a football program, and if you make them into a competitor and somehow win a national title, like, that's extremely impressive.
Yeah,
right. If you have $30 million to spend on players in college, it's not what it once was. It's a totally different budget.
Still are competing with schools like Georgia
that
and
have
Texas
60 and
Notre Dame and Ohio State and Michigan. Like,
I think it would be awesome. I can't wait to watch him. I am very frustrated that he's not in the NFL. That is where he belongs. It's what he should be pursuing, the pursuit of Shula, the pursuit of another Super Bowl. This is a totally different sport. It's just like leaving the game because you don't like it.
You should have listened to me when I told you that he wasn't coming back to the NFL. No. I knew it. I was the first one on it.
No.
I love the rewriting of that one.
The NFL passed him by.
You and
Courtney,
I quote,
on this program.
You and Courtney insisted that he was never going to coach again anywhere.
I never, college was never an option, Greg. I was never presented with that option. I just said he was never going to coach in the NFL.
Shime.
Yes, Greg.
Can admit when you're wrong. I do it all the time.
I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that it had been obviously a dream of his to coach in college football. That's the only thing I missed. I didn't know that he had that percolating back when it came to his bucket list.
But
Curtis,
see, I think it's more about it. It's not that it was a dream of his. I just think he loves to coach. And he didn't want to deal, and it probably left a bad taste in his mouth on how things ended in New England.
Yeah,
and
if he just wanted to coach, then this isn't a problem.
Well, you saw that article that was trying to frame it that way from like 20 years ago, saying that all he ever wanted to do, in his retirement, he would go to some college program and still be coaching.
But it is kind of a retirement gig. It's like
pretty cushy.
It's kind of like a good gig to have as an older guy.
Right, but it's
perfectly in between where he has houses from Nantucket and down to Florida. I mean, it's the location's great. Better weather than here.
But I think the expectations, from people that watch are going to be extremely high. So this whole, he's just going there and it's going to be easy breezy. No, if he doesn't perform well, he's going to get absolutely destroyed like Deion did.
Right. Maybe a little less pressure if he went back to the NFL.
I would say...
It's like going from being a top salesperson at a company to a Walmart greeter in your older age.
Right.
There's just a little less pressure. You show up for the 9 to 5, you punch the clock, have to worry about pressure to sell or dealing with people that they're under your management or anything like that.
He doesn't have to
deal. You can be your own man.
He doesn't have to deal with the owner, right? The president and the AD, they're probably whatever, Bill, do what you want.
They're excited.
But if he went to Dallas, he got to deal with Jerry on his back.
Yep.
If he goes to Jacksonville, whether it is Shad Khan or his son, maybe they're meddling owners. Like, you see how, look at the owner in Carolina. And I get it. I'm spending billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a couple plays I drew up here that maybe you might want to run on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got to take a break. Bill Belichick heading to college football. You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It is honestly a beautiful part of the country. Have you ever been to the Outer Banks? Bill is going to love it. They are going to love it down
there. No, I mean, I lived in Charlotte. And I don't really.
No, it is. And a whole new experience for him.
Right.
Whole new experience for the missus. Somebody was calling us dismissive of Jordan. And not the intention at all on this radio program. Somebody texted her suggesting that perhaps she helped Bill create the 400-page Bible on college football that he submitted to the university.
Did you see what she posted this morning?
No.
There's a new Jordan in town.
That is true.
I mean...
God, no rim shot for that?
No, that's good, Curtis. I like it. Is there... I mean, 400 pages? Do you think that will ever be released to the public? I would love to read Bill's 400-page Bible on college football and creating a program.
Right. What's released first, Bill's Bible or Luigi's Manifesto?
I don't know. I would... Chapter 1, we're on to calculus.
Right.
Chapter two, do your thesis.
Right.
Chapter three, if you see Robert Kraft, kick him out of the state.
Can you imagine like Bill's dance moves after a victory? Now when the kids get into the locker room, you know, all the coaches are doing the cool little dances with the kids, and Bill's got, you know, the selfies like crazy.
Do you think he's a plant the flag guy or not a plant
the flag
guy?
I would say he's not.
Let's ask him.
Do you think he switches up his accent to go all Brian Kelly like when he went to LSU?
That is so
LSU?
Freaky. I literally just said, Shime, do we have that audio?
Does he turn into that like for the Carolinas?
Not at all.
But so I hear you guys love ball down here.
Is it going to change his approach when it comes to press conferences? I mean, he's in being a different stratosphere and dealing with different kind of media. Although the media, I'm assuming, is perhaps, no disrespect, but politer down there as the entire South is.
Right. And then it's college, too. So, I mean, you probably get a handful of college kids asking questions that are just trying to make their bones.
Like, you think he's going to embarrass them?
Hey, Bill, this is for my communications class.
This is for the Chapel Hill school newspaper.
Right.
I really want to fly down there and just ask about Malcolm Butler. Just like show up at the press conference. I can't find this Brian Kelly sound.
There's a lot more off the field stuff in college, though.
Bill, I'm Roy from the Chapel Hill Beacon. A question about why you didn't go, like why you kicked the ball away.
Hi, I'm Larry from the Tar Heel Bugle.
He answers questions about maybe kids who get into trouble at like frat parties.
Oh my god!
I'll tell you, it will be of interest. Certainly,
it's going to be creating classic.
And you know who the big winner is? ESPN. They got the ACC network.
Yeah,
100%.
You'll have Saban interviewing Bill every week.
Yep.
I feel bad for those college refs though. When Bill's digging up in that booty, yelling and screaming on them on the sidelines.
All right. Well, we gotta go.
Yeah.
Been a fun show. What?
No, I just, your boy Nico makes a great point real quick that maybe Bill went to college because he wants to be alive for his Hall of Fame induction. He said the clock starts now that he's in college. So if he continues to coach, then maybe, you know, you got to wait for, what is it, 4 or 5 years? Maybe he coaches four more.
And now good point,
I guess. So good point by Nico.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nico. Not only does he have a great point, but he had a mic drop about Jordan. So
what if he ends up in both?
Ooh.
College Football Hall of Fame. I mean, you go and turn this program in a couple years into a national champion, you're in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, for sure.
I would assume. All right, we got to go. Jones and Kiefer next. We are back tomorrow morning at 6. Will juror number 2 be with us or not? I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.